Welcome to Wannabe Clutter-Free, formerly Wannabe Minimalist, the podcast for busy families who are tired of the chaos, fed up with being overwhelmed, and ready to enjoy life again. Each week, we talk about how to let go of the clutter so that you can focus on the things that actually matter. And it's not just physical clutter. We talk about the mental and emotional stuff too, because if it's holding you back, it's time to ditch it. I share what I've done in my own life to declutter, organize, and calm the chaos, but you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests too. It's practical, doable, and simple for those of us that want to be clutter-free. This podcast is supported by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. We've been using Active Skin Repair for a few months now, and I am seriously impressed. They use a molecule called hypochlorous acid, which is pretty much a superhero in skincare. It mimics your body's own immune response, helping to cleanse, soothe, and reduce inflammation to support the natural healing process. And let me tell you, it works for more than just scraped knees. Whether it's sunburns, rashes, or even more persistent issues like eczema or acne, Active Skin Repair has got you covered. The best part? It's totally safe and non-toxic. That means it's gentle enough for every skin type, from the little ones to grandma and everyone in between, making it the go-to for everyone in the family. I scraped my knuckle the other day while doing laundry, and my first thought was to grab the Active Skin Repair because one, it doesn't sting like other products, and two, I knew it would help me heal faster. So if you're looking for a natural, effective way to handle boo-boos, check out Active Skin Repair. And because you're a listener, you can get 20% off your order. Visit activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair. And to get 20% off your order, use code CLUTTERFREE. Again, that's activeskinrepair.com and use code CLUTTERFREE to get 20% off your order. You're listening to Wannabe Clutter-Free, formerly Wannabe Minimalist, with Deanna Yates, episode number 159. On today's episode, I'm chatting with Dr. Michaela Buccaneri about how to declutter when you are in a stepfamily relationship. After all, decluttering is hard enough when it is just ourselves. Add in the additional layer of emotion and, well, thankfully my guest is here to show us how she accomplished it and strengthened her relationships in her family. Well, hi there, my wannabe clutter-free friend. How are you doing? I just want to say a quick thank you for joining me for this episode today. If you're returning, well, welcome back to the show. And if you are new, I want you to know that I am super happy to have you. I hope you like what you hear and you come back for more. On today's show, I am covering a topic that I'm actually really surprised we haven't talked about specifically before. My guest reached out to me after listening to episode 151, where we talked about tackling emotional declutter and wanted to discuss decluttering in stepfamilies. For me, it was a no-brainer, and I knew I wanted to book her right away. After all, stepfamilies are prevalent in our communities. An estimated 42% of adults have had or have a step relationship of some kind, and it's becoming increasingly so, right? Yet so much of the guidance aimed at parents and families is filtered through a first family lens, and I am totally guilty of this. And this understandably leaves a massive segment of the population that is under-equipped to navigate an additional layer of complexity of everyday household challenges. So thankfully, my expert this week is going to help us with just that. Dr. Michaela Buccaneri is a clinical psychologist, speaker, and coach living in the Twin Cities, Minnesota, with her husband and two stepsons. Blending the science of psychology and the art of stepmomming, Michaela helps women in their unique role to create a stepmom identity that is all their own. This is so that they can worry less, shift their energy to whatever lights them up, and start having way more fun. I am super on board with this. Through her work, she has witnessed firsthand the stress and anxiety caused by managing clutter in a stepfamily environment. And in her own 10-plus years as a stepmom, she said she knows all too well how surprising and sensitive decluttering decisions and conversations can be. It is a great conversation, and Michaela was so wonderful to chat with. You are in for a treat of a conversation about thoughtful decluttering as a stepmom. But before we dive in, I would love to ask just a quick favor from you. Could you please take a moment and rate and review the show? You can do it right now in the app that you are using to listen to this episode. If you're listening on Spotify, you can actually leave a comment just like you would on a blog post. And if you're listening on Apple, you can actually leave me a review. And this week, I'm trying something a little new. Since I do actually record all of my guest interviews in audio and video format, I am recording this in video, this intro right now on video. So I'm actually going to try to post it on YouTube so you can come over there and leave a review there as well. I did actually receive some lovely reviews this week, but this one stood out to me and I wanted to share it. So Danny82 said, and I quote, "Fantastic tips and information for anyone, but especially as a mama of three in a world of chaos. Deanna has a way of baby stepping you into helping to find peace among the overwhelm. There is such a wide variety of topics covered. It's not just decluttering the rooms of your home. There's ways to live more sustainable, mental health, sleep health, skincare and products, wardrobe, parenting, so many gold nuggets. And her voice is so calming. I could listen to her speak for hours, and I have." End quote. Well, Danny82, thank you so much for your really very kind review. You have no idea how happy I am to hear that I am helping you on your journey. I really appreciate you taking the time to leave such a thoughtful review, and I wish you all the best as you get clutter-free. And if you are listening and you think, huh, I should do that too, well then head to the rating section in your app and leave me a review. And one more thing to mention just before we get into the episode, I promise I'll make this quick. If you want the show notes, head on over to wannabeclutterfree.com/159. Now there you will get the info that we talk about today, including links to Michaela's website and all of her resources. Again, you can find it all at wannabeclutterfree.com/159. She also has a download that is made specifically for the listeners of today's show. So do make sure you head over to the show notes because you're not going to want to miss that. And now let's get to our conversation. Well, hi, Michaela. Welcome to Wanna Be Clutter Free. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me, Deanna.
I think our listeners are in for a treat today. We've been chatting a little bit prior to this episode, and I just had to hit record as quickly as possible because we were already having way too much fun. So this is going to be a good one. But before we hop in, tell us about yourself, how you help busy families, and then I'm excited to get into the topic because we are going to do a whole new spin I have never covered on the show before.
I'm so excited to be here. I am a clinical psychologist turned coach, and I specialize in supporting stepmoms who are stressed and overwhelmed so that they can start worrying less and have way more fun on their own and with their families. My own stepmom story began when I met a divorced dad of two little boys. They were 3 and 5 when I came into their lives, and they're about to turn 15 and 17 this summer. So we've been together over a decade now. So I'm delighted to be here and be able to share from that perspective.
Well, I'm excited. And you reached out to me after Krista's episode where we were talking about sentimental clutter. And you just had this really great idea about coming at it from a stepfamily perspective. And I had never had that on the show. It's not a world that I am in. And so I am just really excited to talk with you about that because with the statistics being that around 50% of marriages end in divorce, I think everybody has heard that one, you know, inevitably that's going to lead to a lot of step or blended families. And so we'll talk about that a little bit, but can you, you know, just let's talk about that. What is this perspective of decluttering from a step family perspective? And of course, that's going to be tricky. It's tricky in a, you know, what's the term I'm supposed to even use? Nuclear family? Is that the word?
So it's a great question. The vocabulary is ever evolving. Yes. But one that I like to use is first family. I know it sounds very presidential, but sure. That's helpful because it gets very tricky with the terminology just because like first families, there are so many different flavors of step family. It can be influenced by factors like how you came together, the ages of the kids when you came together, whether the stepmom had children from a previous relationship that she's bringing to that family, whether she, like me, is child-free or childless. All kinds of different factors can influence it. And I don't have to tell you or your audience that clutter is just one manifestation of the stuff that we carry around, emotional stuff, mental stuff. And so even what I have experienced and what I've seen in my work with stepmoms is that even stepfamilies with the very best of intentions and the most intentionality in how they're approaching this are often quite surprised by just how complex these situations can be. And clutter is one area where they really have to confront it in a practical way.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, because even from my perspective as a first family, right? The child that my husband and I have born is a lot of me. It's a lot of him. But then we also bring a lot of baggage to the, you know, to all of it, to raising her, to our stuff, to, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So again, we've got families, you know, it's like a domino or kind of like this like big web where everything's interconnected. And yet it's really hard to even know because you're so ingrained in it. You don't even realize as the person who has these thoughts and feelings that your thoughts and feelings may not be the same as other people's thoughts and feelings. And so, yeah, this is really fascinating. So let's talk about this a little bit. I don't know how you want to start, what, you know, if you want to start with your story or if you want to talk about kind of mindsets around clutter and how you've seen that in your family. Where do you want to start? Let's go from there.
Thanks. I think, well, with my big disclaimer out of the way that like there's no one type of step family, I think maybe what I'll do is start with kind of a few general truths about most step families. And then as we talk, I can just pepper in, you know, parts of my story along the way as it makes sense. But, you know, in general, you've already kind of teed this up perfectly. There are within one step family, lots of what we could consider subfamilies. So what I mean by that is, even taking the example, let's set aside the step families where the stepmom comes to the relationship with kids of her own. Let's just think about a stepmom joining a partner with kids. In that case, just some of the subfamilies that we're dealing with here are that first family as they experienced it when they were together prior to the breakup of that relationship. There is the reality of that first family as it exists now on the other side of that rupture. There's the step family that's coming together in its own way and timing during that process. And there's whatever the step family will go on to be. So right there, that's just that's four different dimensions. And then when we factor in the fact that, as you've said, each member of the family has their own lens through which they're experiencing all of this, it gets very complex very quickly. And so when we look at a practical domain like decluttering, we can see, boy, there's a lot of moving parts here. And so there's this additional layer of complexity on top of what is already, decluttering is already complex enough, as we know. Yeah. Something else to think about in light of the subfamily reality is that in general, we do well, we being stepmoms, but also every member of the family, to approach it with a healthy respect and curiosity. And an analogy that I like to use, and this is perfect for you given your family's travel history, I like to liken it to the same respect with which you'd approach a new country or a new culture. You don't just come in and impose your own perspectives and expectations and beliefs and norms. You're probably going to start actually by not doing a whole heck of a lot at all. You're going to be wandering around, observing, taking it all in. And that is how you're going to gain a healthy appreciation for the history that's gone before, the traditions, a lot of the norms and values, some of the vocabulary that might be used, the way language is used. All of that cannot be rushed. And so that's something, that's one of the kind of rude awakenings I think that many families have is, on the one hand, you've got this practical, like, we got to clean house, we have to make order out of our physical space. But there's also this awareness that, like, we cannot rush this because it's delicate.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I really like that analogy of, it is like taking a trip and just observing like what is already there and not coming at it from, because when you travel, right, you come at things from a curiosity perspective. You do. You think of like, oh, how fascinating, right? There's a fascination versus I have to fix this. And I think just even that little shift, I mean, we could even just use that into our own lives. Even those of us that are in first families that aren't in step families, like just if you think about it from that perspective, if you are new to decluttering and you have a kiddo and you are trying something totally different, maybe if we look at it from that perspective of, all right, let's just let's be fascinated by what have we done before in the past, or what, yes, how are these things? What are people really attached to? And knowing, again, that everybody has their own perspective, their own feelings, their own sense of what they feel is most important to them. Oh, I love that idea. That's a really fun analogy.
Yeah, it's so helpful. And it is one of those things that sounds so simple, harder to put into practice, of course.
For sure.
We're creatures of habit. We're inherently self-focused, right? But I think in your conversation with Krista St. Germain and talking about the emotions that come up around grief and loss and as it relates to our clutter, like, I love the perspective that you discussed with her about, you know, an emotion is not a problem to be fixed. Mm-hmm. And so you just touched on that now, that if we can just adopt a healthy curiosity, we are not having to make a judgment one way or the other about what we're observing. We're just taking it in and we're eyes open. And that's really all you have to do and all you really can do at the start, I would argue.
Yeah. Open heart, open mind. Yeah,
exactly.
Just kind of being there and being and just saying like, all right, well, let's figure this out together.
Yes.
Right? Because you're all in this together. And so if you can figure it out together, it will just create stronger bonds, I think. So, all right. So we've kind of talked about shifting our mindset. Well, maybe let's talk about that. Maybe our attitude toward clutter. Is there, what have you seen in the past that has worked? Kind of how people view clutter? Obviously, this is one of the biggest questions I get from every family is like, I want it this way. Other people want it this way. Like, let's just start about, like, just talk about that, attitudes about clutter.
You know how life doesn't stick to a schedule? Well, why should your paycheck? That's where EarnIn comes in. It's an app that lets you access the money you've earned right when you need it, not just on payday. Imagine this. Your dog suddenly needs a vet, or your kid has a little accident and needs a dentist ASAP. We've been there, and waiting for your payday in those situations just doesn't make sense, and it adds unnecessary stress. With EarnIn, you can pull up to $100 per day or up to $750 each pay period directly from your earnings without the crazy fees or interest rates. It's super simple. Download the EarnIn app, verify your paycheck, and get access to your earnings as you earn them. You decide what to tip, and whatever you use gets settled on your next payday. More than 3.5 million users are finding relief and a sense of security with EarnIn, calling it a lifeline for financial stability. That peace of mind, it's priceless, and it could be yours. Ready to give it a try? Download EarnIn today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in clutter under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help out the show. That's clutter under podcast. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank. Subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Oh, hey, everybody. It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory. Two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And now we're back with a whole new podcast about unsticking it, launching in January. What happens when life gets in the way of our creativity instead of nourishing it?
We talk to all sorts of guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders.
So, join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom.
Get out of there, life gunk.
Let us help you get back to your best creative self. Look for Unsticking It with Blair and Molly.
Wherever you listen to podcasts, starting in January.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly. Because sometimes life sucks.
Unsticking it.
Totally. So, I think just to, again, reiterate that with step families, there is this additional layer of complexity just by virtue of the sheer number of perspectives that are involved. And there is also, I mean, I'd be remiss if I didn't call out the fact there is, unfortunately, quite a significant gap still between the pressures and the demands, the challenges really that step families are experiencing right now and the resources that are available to support them. And so on a practical level, what ends up happening is that a lot of stepmoms, for example, will, okay, I've got a home now with other people that I need to have a role in managing our stuff. What does that look like? And so she might plug into an excellent resource like your podcast and take what fits. But inevitably, there's going to be a point at which it's like, oh, but it feels trickier, or it feels like this feels really sensitive. What now? And so something that can be really helpful is remembering, first of all, that there is no set timeline that is correct here, just as you talk about so nicely all the time, that there's no like one size fits all way to do decluttering as a family. Of course not. With step families, I would say even ratchet that up even a bit more and say, like, just be even gentler with yourself, because things take time. There is emotional residue, physical remnants of the ending that happened with that first family. And so being able to be sensitive, yes, to the experiences of the kids that are involved and your partner and any other members of the family, but also with yourself, and recognize, like, this will happen and I have all the time I need. Like, that's one little mantra I recommend. It's very simple, but just reiterating to yourself, I'm not on a clock here. There's no like deadline. And if I miss it, then I'm out of luck. You have all the time you need. And I really don't think you can ever go wrong by giving yourself a little extra time to do this. But as from a self-awareness perspective, because ultimately, frustratingly, we can only control ourselves. We can't like control other people's needs and values and all of that. There was a humbling moment in my own story when I was coming together, again, not having kids of my own, and then coming together with my partner and his kids, when I had to confront the uncomfortable reality that not all clutter was created equal in my eyes, specifically my own clutter that I'd gotten very comfortable with for, I don't know, 30 years, did not bug me in the same way that certain elements of other people's clutter around our house did. And again, like, I know there's parallels here with any family.
Sure.
I think just recognizing, like, okay, I just need to be aware of that then, because it's not that now you have no say over the clutter in the common spaces of your home. If anything, I actually think it connects us all together in a meaningful way. It's like, it's difficult for the members of my family to think about managing their clutter the same way it's difficult for me to think about parting with certain things. And so just knowing that we all are going to have our own challenges with that and being okay with that. Another piece, just as far as perspective about clutter, that stepmoms in particular face is more so than any other member of a stepfamily system. The stepmom, as we think about it as a role, there is immense ambiguity and confusion about what is expected of her. And so this means that even with seemingly straightforward decluttering tasks, it can bring up a lot of this kind of like one foot on the gas pedal, one foot on the brake, like, ooh. And that's where, you know, we come to this idea of overstepping. That's a big mixed message that stepmoms experience and that I hear from a lot of stepmoms is, gosh, I'm expected to step up in all these practical ways and help with a lot of the day-to-day running of this family. But when it comes to kind of these invisible lines that I might not even be aware of, I've accidentally overstepped and that's not my place. And so there's just a lot of fear and worry around that for stepmoms. So that's something else to just be mindful of as you're navigating how you're managing your household stuff.
Yeah. There's a couple of things I want to kind of circle back to as you were talking. It made me think of the different phases. You know, kids go through a lot of different phases. And you said you entered your stepchildren's life at 5 and 3, and now they are 15 and 17. And that's a big difference. You know, there's a lot of different phases that go on in there. And so maybe one thing I might think of to help someone with decluttering is maybe wait to the next phase, right? Because you can start to then call back before you even bring in. Right? So you stop the clutter before it even enters the house. And so maybe you're not trying to push and get rid of things, but just as they outgrow that phase, they will naturally want to let go of those things and be more mindful of as you enter into the next phase, as they go from maybe preschool to elementary school, there's going to be a shift there. And so just being cautious about what you bring in as they like the new things, right? As they get into Pokemon, well, we only have so many Pokemon cards. Here's a Pokemon card holder, and we can fill up this card holder. And as those spaces are filled, you get to decide which Pokemon cards get to stay and which ones go. But this is the Pokemon card holder, whatever. That's the first thing that came to my mind when you said
I love that example.
Please. But just like keeping it really, again, simple, easy, not these giant tectonic plate shifts, right? Mm-hmm. Like we don't have to have this huge change to start making progress as we go. And just having that moment of like, okay, this is a season. It's going to go ahead and it will pass. I don't have to, you know, dig in so hard and just dig my heels in on this one thing and make this the hill I'm willing to die on. Just having that moment.
I love that so much. Okay. I love that perspective. And I think to piggyback on that a little bit, I think it's a great reminder that sometimes when we're feeling boxed into two extremes, like I have the black option and the white option.
For sure.
I love hitting pause, stepping back and just asking, again, getting curious, what's a third option here? And so this is a perfect example that oftentimes a stepmom specifically will find herself in a situation where, given all the ambiguity and uncertainty, it's not because she's a control freak so much as it's very human to want to wrangle order out of chaos. And so decluttering the home is one domain where that can manifest, but that's one extreme where you come in like gangbusters and then you risk all kinds of it just brings up more challenges in the future than as far as just bonding with this family that's still coming together and coalescing. But then the other extreme is where she feels kind of like she's trapped in this museum of another family's stuff. Mm. And so I hear that a lot from stepmoms, like, I don't see myself reflected in my home, and that doesn't feel good. And so remembering, like, there's a third option. And as far as the kids and phases, one specific challenge that comes up, I know, is around sentimental items that maybe the kids aren't yet developmentally in a place where they can make an informed decision about what happens with that. And so a really simple fix would be for the parents, really for the kid's parent, to take charge of putting those, corralling them together and putting them someplace safe so that then, as you say, when they're in a different season, when they are developmentally able to go through and enjoy those objects and decide what they want to do with them, then they're there.
Yeah, I love that. And the other part I was going to come back to was the vulnerability part, because I talk to, you know, I tell moms all the time, and I've seen it time and time again, right? Everybody resists decluttering until you start to deal with your own clutter, right? And so you come in and you have this moment of like, all right, this is what I'm doing. And this is, you know, and maybe you start talking about how it makes you feel and what it's like to get rid of it. And there is that moment of vulnerability. And I can see that being very difficult for a stepmom who's coming into a family who feels like, I actually need to, maybe I feel like I need to show this strong front, right? Mm-hmm. I need to show everybody. I feel like I need to show everybody that I have got it together.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it can be a little bit easier for a first mom maybe to say like, hey, I don't really know what I'm doing here either. Like,
yes.
This is all new. So is there a way that you help stepmoms kind of bridge that moment of like, you don't need to show that you have it all together. We're all human. We're all growing. We're all just doing the best we can. But yeah, how do we get that across to kids that we don't really want to, you know, how do we make ourselves feel seen and go through these vulnerability things, but still come out strong and feel like we've got it going, got it together?
Excellent question. And as far as vulnerability goes, even with very little kids, kind of my blanket recommendation is, as long as certain pieces are in place, meaning like as long as kids know that they are secure and that the adults have it more or less, like the basics are taken care of, they're safe, they know what to expect at home. Beyond that, it's perfectly okay. And I think really healthy thing for kids to see the grownups, especially in parenting roles, speaking about their internal experience, speaking about their emotions. Again, that's why I think it's really helpful to be able to start by thinking about your own relationship to your stuff, because as you said, you can model that. So in my case, I don't tend to have a lot of sentimental attachments to clutter, except for paper, like sentimental paper. So notes I've received, or just little like clippings from different things. And so being able to share some of that as I'm going through my own stuff, I keep my own version of the Pokemon card holders. Like I have a small box and I get to, you know, keep sentimental pieces of paper in there, and being able to share about that a little bit as I'm going through my own stuff, not only, again, helps convey we're all doing this together. This isn't a power over thing where I'm saying you have to clean up your mess. It's about us making sure that our home always is a space that we all feel good in, and that everything here is here for a reason. But it also just gives you an emotional vocabulary to talk about feelings, and that's going to serve you for years to come. And so in that way, I mean, I don't want to romanticize the practical challenges of decluttering, but I've really found it to be a springboard for so many really rich conversations for stepfamilies in particular.
Well, and I think it's a really rich springboard for first families, because honestly, as you go through your things, a lot of these thoughts come up about, why do I feel attached to these things? Is this because of a, you know, something from my childhood, like I had this mentality that was passed down to me because of how my parents felt about their stuff? Or, you know, I think there's just a lot of that conversation that comes through our stuff, because our stuff really is just an emotional minefield. It really is. And I think that's really one of the reasons why people resist decluttering so much, is because they don't want to have to deal with it, right? There's already so much going on in life. There really is. It's, you know, life is hard. And especially in our modern age where things are supposed to be easier and yet they're so much more complicated, I think we forget about that. And I think we take that for granted, that, or just kind of gloss over the fact that, you know, I get that things are supposed to be easier, but being connected 24/7 is actually a lot more complicated than when we got to unplug and not really worry about,
isn't that the
truth? Rest of the world, or worry about what was happening at work, or people couldn't get a hold of you if you left the house. Like, oh my gosh, I talked to our daughter about that. Like how you could just leave the house. Like you just left.
Imagine that.
And no one knew where you were. And you had to like have a moment of where you were going to meet people. Like, we're going to meet at this time, at this place. They weren't there. You were on your own.
Like, yeah. You hoped they were okay. Yeah.
Life was just a little bit different. And for some reason, you know, for some things, it's a lot nicer to know where our daughter is at all times. Yes. Right. Like that gives me a moment of, you know, just it's nice to know where she is. So there's a little bit of a breath of like, but also it actually makes you a little bit nuttier. And so I think that there's that moment of all of that clutter, dealing with all of that stuff, that emotional stuff is for everybody. And it just maybe is a little bit heightened in a step family where you have, you're not sure what the background story is coming into it, right? And you actually have that, which we didn't talk about, you have that fifth person in your case, because there were two kids and a husband, you know, your new husband and you, and there was the mom.
Yeah.
Right. So there is that fifth person that you're dealing with who is, you have to be careful because you don't want to talk badly about her. You're not trying to say anything bad about her or, you know.
And I will say,
go into that.
I'm so glad you bring that up. Overwhelmingly of the stepmoms that I work with and talk to, they know, like they're, that's a firm commitment that they're not saying anything or doing anything knowingly that would put the kids in a situation where they felt like they had to protect or defend or
choose.
It's difficult enough. They're in a situation that even if it is objectively calmer, healthier, in some cases safer than the first family was, it is still a loss because it's their first family. And so recognizing that and knowing that. So most stepmoms recognize that. What I think is not always on our radar is how the most mundane stuff in our homes connects back to that. So two ways I've seen this play out with adults and then with the kids specifically. So I strongly recommend that, given the strong emotions attached to the stuff that's in our homes, that when a stepfamily is first coming together, that the adults, really regardless of the ages of the kids, but for sure in our case where the kids were still pretty little, mm-hmm. I recommend that the adults be the ones that get on the same page of going through the home when they can in private and just doing that first really good sweep of what is here and are there things maybe that belong at the other house or things that need to be parted with or any repairs that need to be made to the home, just because things can be so emotionally charged and you never really know. So many stepmoms are surprised by just how deep it goes. It's like, gosh, we were spackling over, you know, holes in a wall, and suddenly my partner was launching into this story about a memory that triggered for them. And I think, again, like, not to make it sound overly dramatic, but our homes carry scars of the families that live there, in any family. And so, given what you're saying, you know, the sensitivity of those subfamilies and knowing that even though the first family looks different for the kids, that is still their first family. And so one way to respect that and also really get more done on a practical level is for the adults to spearhead kind of the initial taking inventory of the house.
Are you overwhelmed by the things that get in the way of you doing what you want to do? Are you looking for ways to simplify life to better align with your values? Do you want to create space in your schedule so you have room for more of the good stuff? Play, joy, relationships, gratitude, and more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I invite you to check out Edit Your Life, a podcast to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome. Through episodes with me, Christine Coe, and a range of super smart, compassionate, and thoughtful guests, you'll come away with big picture insights and practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection. I have always believed that small moments and actions matter tremendously. My goal is to help you find agency and space in your life through doable baby steps that will leave you feeling accomplished instead of overwhelmed. Check out Edit Your Life wherever you enjoy your podcasts.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.
I love that. That's great. Because yes, then you can have those more emotional conversations. You can talk about where there might be some pitfalls so you know what you're kind of getting into. I really, really like that. Do you have any other practical tips for facilitating these decluttering conversations? Maybe that are a little less emotionally charged?
Yes.
To diffuse
yes.
that?
So most of them are, in my experience, much less emotionally charged. Most of it is, it's happening below the level of our awareness. And so, unfortunately, because of that, sometimes as adults, we treat kind of the kids' clutter with less reverence or seriousness than we would if we were kids. And so I bring this up because, and again, it's not because anyone is intentionally trying to disrespect anyone, but a stepmom, for example, might decide, okay, well, one easy place I can start is throwing away the broken toys or like the Legos that are left over from that one set that doesn't even, I'm just chucking it all in the trash. And isn't that a great way I can help my family today? See, you know,
you can see me on this video. I'm like my body language has just tightened up. My shoulders are high. I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no.
So I want to turn it back to you, Deanna, and you tell us from your expertise, just like high level, why that's not a good idea. And then I'll share this, my own perspective of why that's.
Well, I have a very sensitive child too. So from the get-go, like a rock she found on a sidewalk, you know, she knows where it came from, what she was doing that day, who was with us. So I learned early on that what I saw as junk, she saw as treasures, right? So I think that from just that perspective alone of like the if you look at your kids' stuff, how you look at your entire home, right? There are things in your home that make no sense to no one else but you.
Yes.
Your kids' stuff is the same way. Like, that is their life because they don't have many things that they can be in charge of, right? They are not in charge of much in their life. They are not in charge of where they go on any given day. They're not in charge of what time they go to bed. They're not in charge, sometimes not even of what they wear, right? And so we tell them all day long, here's what you're going to eat. Here's how you're going to brush your teeth. Here's what you're going to wear. Here's, you know, it's time to get ready for bed. Da-na-na-na-na. And their stuff is that's what they control. And so, yeah, absolutely. I am a big proponent of kids being involved in what they let go of. And that's why that stages, right, as you get to different stages and you can be more intentional about what you bring in, is so important to me, because that's where you can start that conversation, is on the in, like what's coming in versus what going, it's going out. It's so much harder to let go of things than it is to stop them before you even have them. So that's where I'm coming from.
I love it.
Your turn.
And I know your approach. I knew that that would be your message. And I love that message. I feel exactly the same way. I come to it, you know, I came to it, even though I was brand new to so many aspects of step family life. I did come from my clinical psychology background and my background working with kids and in therapy. And so fortunately, that served me well enough to be able to know better in that one specific way. So a way that I've translated this for stepmoms that I work with is to say, remembering we're not putting pressure on ourselves to get it done in a weekend. That is totally not realistic. It didn't happen overnight, right? It's not going to get fixed overnight. But also, not every instance of clutter is a problem to be solved. And so it sounds funny at first, but I encourage stepmoms to consider, especially early on, what could I do with this clutter? What could we do with this clutter besides declutter it? And what that can reveal are some really creative opportunities for relationship building with your stepkids. And so in my instance, my two stepsons at the time that I was first, we weren't all living together at this point, but I had moved closer to where they lived. We eased in gradually, but it gave me an opportunity to dip in, be part of some of their routines and rituals, and just for us to get to know each other in their space. And at the time that I was first getting to know them, my younger stepson was really into, well, all things hockey, and that really hasn't changed, but at the time, like, one of his prized possessions were his hockey guys. Mm. So they're like, it was like a bucket of little plastic hockey players. And then there's this mat rink that you could lay out on the floor and make them. Okay. So he played thoroughly and actively with these hockey guys. And so some of them were mangled and broken. And this is an example where if I had come in and chucked some of them, I would have missed out on the opportunity to get down on the floor with him, play hockey guys, and ask him about all the different players and miss out on this. I have such a clear, sweet memory of him picking up one of the broken hockey guys and saying, well, this guy's injured, so he's on the bench, but he's going to be back next week. And we had a whole narrative about it. And that's my point, is that play for kids is everything. It runs really deep. For sensitive kids in particular, it can really create this meaning in their world that might not exist outside of that, or might not feel as safe. But for all kids, it is their domain, and it's something they can invite you into and use as a tool to teach you about themselves. And I would have missed out on all that richness if I just tried to chuck some of his toys. My other stepson was really big into Legos. And while he loved, you know, getting the set and creating the thing using the plan, where he really, like, what really lit him up was just going off script, going rogue and making his own creation. So you see, like, the pieces that didn't seem to go or fit were very much part of the tools he was using to make these creations. And in his case, his little brother was very outgoing, and so he was all too happy to play hockey guys with me. But my older stepson, at five was slower to open up, slower to warm. That's just his temperament. Mm-hmm. And so as we were able to play Legos together, just side by side, like sometimes not even making eye contact, it became this tool where he could open up and talk to me and share. And because I was practicing curiosity, there was all of these insights that came from that. And that's just, that's a small example, but we miss out on so much. And that's especially powerful for stepmoms who so often feel like they're coming into this pre-existing culture, they're playing catch up. You can really learn a lot in these small moments centered around stuff that doesn't necessarily need to be decluttered just yet. Yeah.
Well, and that's the other thing. All stuff is not, stuff is stuff. Stuff is a tool, right? And if it is being used and people cherish it, it is not clutter, even if it's broken, right? It doesn't, what you find clutter, other people find treasures. And so, yes, having that open mind of being like, okay, let's look at this and have conversations about it. And do you really want this? And I mean, still, even with our daughter, I mean, we do two pretty big declutter sessions every year. I'm lucky she has a summer birthday. It's practically just 6 months after Christmas, right? Like we got really lucky. It's like twice a year, just right on clockwork. So before those really big gift giving holidays of like, okay, hey, are there things that you are willing to pass on or ready to pass on to other kids, right? It's not this like, let's get rid of it. It's more of, hey, have you outgrown this? Not taking a moment of like, are you done with this? Like this, let's trash this, you know, because again, these are their things that they have, you know, they've formed connections with them. There are emotions involved. And so, yeah, just having that moment of like, oh, tell me about this, right? So you could even take it from a perspective of like, what's this thing? Tell me about this thing. Yes. And then they either tell you a story of like, oh, I used to play with that, or, oh, that was from blah, blah, blah. And you'll be able to tell in their language and how they talk about something, whether they really like it and there's a connection still, or whether they're like, oh, that's like a so yesterday. That's so last year. Like I have a girl. Clearly it's going to be a little bit different conversation than the boys probably.
But not always all that different. Totally. No. I know. I love that because there's so, yeah, again, all these micro opportunities to connect. And I think in our experience, you know, sometimes those conversations go really smoothly where they'll offer up on a silver platter. I'm no longer into this. Please, let's give it to someone else. In which case you can use that to reinforce like, yeah, you used to be really big into that, but these days I noticed you're super into this, and you can talk about that, or you can use it as a chance to reinforce what you know and love about them. Like, gosh, yeah, another kid would enjoy that. I love your heart for sharing with other kids. I love your natural generosity. If, on the other hand, it's not going as smoothly and they're like, you can pry this object out of my rigid fist here. Exactly. You might have to dig a little deeper, but yeah, you're still really into that. And that's because I know you care about this and whatever.
Sure.
But it's like wanting to, I think of it as like wanting to wring out all the goodness out, like all the juice out of each one of these little interactions, even the sticky ones, because that's the stuff that you build a life and a family on, frankly.
Aw, I love that sentiment right there. That is the stuff you build a life and a family on. Just those moments of, yeah, just connecting, right? Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about, connecting, forming those connections, those relationships, and just being there for one another and knowing that if you can get through some of these stickier situations, they will know that they can come to you, fall back on you when things get a little bit harder in their life. So, Michaela, well, this has been wonderful. I'm so excited. Thank you for bringing this perspective to the show and just, you know, I just love it. Yeah, we had never actually covered this topic. So I was really happy that you reached out. So awesome.
It's my pleasure. And yeah, I mean, hopefully this illustrates for no matter who's listening that, you know, at any time, there's the things that are true of most families. And then there's the things that's specifically true of your family. And so if you can zoom out and take what's helpful, you know, from those big messages and then zoom in and decide what makes sense for you and your people, we'll all do better. Yeah.
All right. Well, where can people find you? I know they're going to want to reach out, and especially anybody in a step family is going to, you know, want to know more information. So where can they find you?
Yeah, I think to keep things simple, I'll go ahead and create a dedicated landing page on my site, and I'll round up all the resources so your audience can find everything there. So folks can go to theanxiousstepmom.com/wannabe, and it'll be there.
Great. All right. Well, we will make sure we have the link in the show notes as well, so everyone can find it if they haven't, if they don't have time to write that down or can't remember it, no problem. We'll have it for you there. So just go on over to the show notes.
Thank you.
Okay. So my favorite way to end every episode is with three rapid fire questions. I have tweaked them just slightly, but they're pretty much the same. But the first one is, what does clutter-free mean to you?
For me, it means freedom, specifically the freedom to shift focus away from managing our stuff and the ability to aim the full force of your attention and your beautiful brain at the people, the passions, the pursuits that light you up. I think that's clutter-free.
So good. So good. And number two, is there anything that we missed that you want to make sure people know, or anything we talked about today that you want to reiterate? And if people were just listening and got one thing to take away from this, what's something that you would want them to know?
I think if you can focus on the feeling that your family has when they enter your home, so many other things will become easier. So often we get really stuck in a worry cycle of, am I making the right decisions? Like, is this, how are my kids going to reflect on this when they're grown? So often we overlook the really obvious touch points of, how does it feel when they cross the threshold to our home? And what kind of emotion, like, what is the feeling they're going to remember of us and our home? And so if you can ensure, do what you can, that your home is a safe, soft place for everyone to land, everything else kind of becomes secondary to that.
Making a heart over here. It's so good. Love it. Oh my gosh, I love it. Yeah, just those things, right? The big things that we kind of do take for granted. We can get so caught up in the minutia of the little things. Just taking care of that one big thing really can make such a big difference. So awesome. All right. Number three, last one. What is making you happy right now or in this season of your life?
Honestly, it's this business. It's getting to have conversations like this with you. I've worn so many different hats over the years, and I feel like now I'm in kind of my stepmom hype girl era, where it's really fun to be able to, you know, the kids are teenagers now. And so being able to look back through the rearview mirror with over a decade now of perspective on this while still being in it, still learning and growing and trying this stuff out, it's just a really sweet time to be able to have these conversations and talk about just the everyday stuff of life, but from this stepfamily perspective. It's a total honor and one that I did not expect.
So fun. Well, Michaela, this has been a delight. Thank you so much for joining us and just being so open and honest and just cheerful and optimistic is the word, I guess. I don't know. Just this has been a wonderful conversation. So thanks for coming with us today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Cheers.
Wasn't that
so good?
I loved chatting with her and her gentle approach. I mean, so many of her tips work for all families, not just step relationships. And so I think that was really nice to be able to see it with both lenses. And I really appreciate her coming on the show and sharing her perspective with us. But now it is your turn. I would absolutely love to know what stood out to you the most today. Feel free to leave a comment on Instagram, or you can send me a DM over there. I am at wannabeclutterfree, all one word. And that is on all the social channels. So you can find me on Instagram or Facebook or Pinterest or wherever else I am these days. Or you can come over to the Wannabe Minimalist Family Group on Facebook and join in the conversation there. We would absolutely love to have you. And as always, thank you for joining me today. If you made it this far, just a reminder that I would be thrilled if you left a rating for this podcast, as well as a review on Apple Podcast, or a comment on Spotify, or on this one, even a comment on YouTube. Your reviews make my day, and it helps me be able to book more guests on the show for you to discover and learn from. And a special thanks again to Dr. Michaela Bucaneri for joining us on the show today and for being so gracious with her advice. Remember, you can find out more about Michaela by heading over to wannabeclutterfree.com/159. Again, that's wannabeclutterfree.com /159, where she has put together a landing page just for listeners. So it's very specific to the information we talked about today. So make sure you head over there because you will not want to miss that. I hope you have a wonderful day, and I will see you back here next week for a solo show when I will be talking about carving out time for joy. As the saying goes, all work and no play makes Jack a very dull boy, and I think the same is true for decluttering in our homes. We need to have purpose for the work that we are putting in, and including fun and joy might be just the thing we are missing. So please come on over and check it out. And with that, I'm Deanna Yates, and you've been listening to Wanna Be Clutter-Free. I'll see you next week. Cheers.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play, and we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.